Amen. All right, well, we're there in Genesis chapter number 12. And since this whole coronavirus thing happened, we've suspended some of the sermon series that we were in. And hopefully we'll get back to those sometime soon. But what I've been doing here for the last couple of weeks is just kind of taking some requests. We've been asking people if they've got sermon topics or Bible questions or ideas, and there's lots of ideas and sermon topics. Some of them, unfortunately, I don't feel like there's enough in the Bible to really preach an entire sermon about. But for some of them, we've been trying to go through them and preach sermons about them and write sermons about them. And this was actually a subject that several people brought up. This idea of understanding the covenants in the Bible. So this morning, I'm going to be preaching on the subject of understanding the covenants in the Bible. And like I said, there was several requests about this. So it seems like it's a topic that people are really interested in. But I want to begin this morning by giving a disclaimer and a definition. All right. So by way of introduction, let me give a disclaimer and a definition. I'll begin with a disclaimer. The disclaimer is this: the covenants. In the Bible, you know, the covenants as a sermon topic is something that a lot of requests were given for it. My concern is with preaching this sermon is that there's way too much to cover in regards to the covenant in the Bible. Honestly, just, you know, I preach a lot of sermon series, and I kind of can look at passages in Scripture and figure out how long it's going to take. And to do a thorough job with the covenants in the Bible would be a minimum of 5 to 6 week sermon series. Now, I'm not going to take 5 to 6 weeks to preach on the covenants. I'm just telling you, there's way too much to cover in one sermon. So here's the disclaimer. This is going to be an overview sermon. We're going to just kind of go through, and I'm going to give you an overview. There's no way that we could cover all that could possibly covered, and I'm just saying that because some of you are going to email and say, you didn't cover this, and you didn't cover that, and you didn't go into this detail, and honestly, to go into everything that the covenants, you know, that's covered in regards to the covenants in the Bible would probably take 6 weeks. So I'm going to do an overview, and even with an overview, I'm going to have to do this over 2 sermons, all right? So even with just an overview, we're just going to fly above and just kind of take a look at the covenants. There's still too much to do in one sermon. So I'm going to have, this actually is going to be part one, and next Sunday I'm going to do part two. But I just want to make sure that people have the right frame of mind in realizing that there's no way that I can cover every little thing about the covenants. It's going to be very much of an overview and just kind of helping you. Hopefully, when we're done, you'll have a good understanding of the covenants, generally speaking. Now, that's the disclaimer. Let me give you the definition. And I want to begin by just defining the word covenant. The word covenant means an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not do something specified. So a covenant is an agreement that's made, and we might think of it like a contract, except there's not necessarily a paper that's signed, but it's an agreement, and it's usually a formal agreement between two or more persons they are agreeing or committing to do something or not do something that has been specified. Now, when it comes to the covenants in the Bible, one of the reasons that there's so much to cover is because, honestly, when it comes to covenants, depending on who you ask, if you ask somebody, how many covenants are there in the Bible, you'll get an answer anywhere from 4 to 8 covenants in the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much to cover in regards to the covenants, because of what people consider a covenant or what the Bible even refers to as a covenant is going to be different things. So what I'm going to do in these sermons is I'm going to cover the 4 major covenants, the ones that people generally think of when they think of a covenant. So I'm going to be covering the Abrahamic covenant, I'm going to be covering the Mosaic covenant, I'm going to be covering the Davidic covenant, and I'm going to be covering the most important of all, of course, especially for us, the New Covenant or the New Testament covenant. But I just want you to understand that this is an overview. For example, here's a very legitimate covenant that I'm not covering, the Noahic covenant. So, you know, there's lots more that could be done. It's just that to take the amount of time to focus on covenants would be too long. So I'm going to be covering the Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, and New Covenant, and even those are going to just be an overview of those covenants. And we're going to do this in 2 parts, part 1, part 2. This week, We're going to deal with the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. So we're going to just jump right in to the Abrahamic covenant. You're there in Genesis chapter 12. Him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now this is often cited and quoted by many people today, especially Zionists, who like to take this covenant and apply it in ways that the Bible does not apply. So I'm going to just show you this morning how what this covenant actually covers and how it applies to us as New Testament believers, or what we should think about it or believe about it. There are basically three characteristics when it comes to the Abrahamic covenant. So I want to give you three characteristics about the Abrahamic covenant. The first is this. God, in this covenant, because remember, a covenant is a promise that's made. It's an oath that is made. It's an agreement that is made. This one is between God and between Abraham and Abraham's descendants. That's the covenant that's made here. And there are three aspects to the Abrahamic covenant. Number one, God was going to give Abraham descendants. That was part of the covenant. The fact that God was committing to the fact that he was going to give Abraham descendants, because at this time, Abraham had no children. Abraham and Sarah was barren. They had no children. So God was promising to Abraham that he was going to give him descendants. That's why he says there in verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. He's saying those that are going to be called under your name, they're going to be a great number. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Now, keep your place there in Genesis 12. That's our text for now. But go with me to the book of Genesis in chapter number 22. So just flip 10 chapters over from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22. And in Genesis 22, we find the Abrahamic covenant reiterated. Genesis 22, we find this Abrahamic covenant reiterated. And I'd like to show you there some of the description in regards to these descendants. Because the first characteristic of the Abrahamic covenant is that God was going to give Abraham descendants. But under that umbrella of God giving Abraham descendants, there are actually two types of descendants that are mentioned. Notice there, Genesis 22. And of course, Genesis 22 is that famous story where Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac upon the mount. And God was testing him to see if he was willing to do it. Notice verse 17. Notice what God says. Abraham has passed the test. Now God is reiterating the covenant to him. He says that in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, notice, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. All right. So there we have the part of this covenant that God was going to give Abraham descendants. He says, I will multiply thy seed. But I want you to notice that God then explains two ways in which he's going to multiply his seed. And he uses symbolism to explain that. He says that in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. Notice, as, number one, the stars of heaven. So he says, Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed. And you might ask, well, how are you going to do that, God? Or what's that going to look like? He says, well, one of it's going to be like as the stars of heaven. Then he says this, and, here's number two, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And I want you to notice that when it comes to the promise, the Abrahamic covenant, the part of it that has to do with God giving Abraham descendants, God from the very beginning explained that there is going to be two types of descendants. He says, I'm going to multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and that would be picturing a heavenly descendants or spiritual descendants. But then he says, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. That would be picturing physical descendants or earthly descendants. So he said, look, Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants, but you're going to have descendants like spiritual descendants like the stars in heaven, and then you're going to have earthly descendants like the sand which is upon the seashore that is on the earth. So God promised Abraham spiritual descendants and physical descendants. Now, the physical descendants were obviously fulfilled through Abraham's physical sons. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who eventually became 12 tribes who made up the nation of Israel. So when God told Abraham, hey, I'm going to multiply thy seed and they're going to be as the sand which is upon the seashore, that was fulfilled through the physical descendants, the nation of Israel. But I want you to remember that God had also said that he was going to give him descendants that were going to be like the stars of heaven. So he says he's already alluding to the fact that there's going to be two types of descendants in this Abrahamic covenant. All right. So the Abrahamic covenant was God. What the first aspect of it was that God was going to give Abraham descendants. And in those descendants, we see that there's already two types of descendants, spiritual descendants and physical descendants. Let me give you the second aspect of the Abrahamic covenant. Not only was it that God was going to give Abraham descendants, but the second aspect was that God was going to make Abraham a blessing. Notice there again, verse number 18, Genesis 22 and verse 18. And in thy seed, notice, because he said, I'm going to give you a seed, right? They're going to be like the stars of heaven, and they're going to be like the sand of the seashore. Then he says, and in thy seed shall, notice the words, all the nations. He says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So God said to Abraham, I'm going to not only give you descendants, but I'm going to make you a blessing, and all the nations of the earth shall be, he says, earth be blessed. Now go back to Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at the original Abrahamic covenant that's brought up in Genesis 12. And notice, in Genesis 12, we hear something similar. Genesis 12 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Notice, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So in Genesis 22, we're told that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 12, we're told that all the families of the earth be blessed. And what I want you to notice is that the Abrahamic covenant has three aspects. We've talked about two of them already. One was that God was going to give Abraham descendants. What type of descendants? Spiritual descendants, physical descendants. The second one was that God was going to make Abraham a blessing. A blessing to who? He says, to all the nations of the earth, and he says, to all the families of the earth. Now, here's what I find extremely interesting, is that the Abrahamic covenant is usually toted around, and it's used and it's cited and it's quoted by Zionists to try to act like the nation of Israel or the Jews of today are this special people separated from the world. And they'll say, see, God said, you know, that if we bless them, that he's going to bless us for blessing them. And if we curse them, then God's going to curse us for cursing them. What's interesting, they'll try to act like this is all about the nation of Israel. But when you actually read the covenant that God made with Abraham, he's telling him, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. He said, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. See, the covenant to Abraham, they'll say, oh, that was a covenant made to the Jews, but it was a covenant given to the whole world. From the very beginning, God said, I'm going to give you descendants that are going to be spiritual descendants, that are going to be physical descendants, and they're going to bless the entire world. So from the very beginning, God said, look, I'm making a promise to you. I'm making an oath to you. And God is telling Abraham, I'm going to do something for the world. He said, I'm going to do something in the world, and I'm going to do something for the world. So it's never been this thing, even from Genesis 12, where it's like God was only wanting to focus on the nation of Israel. No, he focused on the nation of Israel. He was going to do something in Abraham's descendants for the world. It was always for the world. He says that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He says that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So when we see this Abrahamic covenant, what do we see? Well, number one, God was going to give Abraham descendants. Number two, God was going to make Abraham a blessing to all the nations of the earth and to all the families of the earth. Number three, notice the third aspect of the Abrahamic covenant. Again, I'm just giving you an overview. There's lots that we could go into, lots of references and passages we could bring together and pull together, but let me just give you this overview. Number three, God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants. That was part of the Abrahamic covenant. Not only was God going to give Abraham descendants, not only was God going to make Abraham and his descendants a blessing, but God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants. Notice verse 3 again. And I, this is God speaking, will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now that is something that God said there. God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you. Notice that word thee there, that singular, Abraham. Then he says, and curse him that curseth thee. He said, look, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. And those that bless you, I'm going to bless them. And those that curse you, I'm going to curse them. And he said, I'm going to give you descendants, and they're going to be a blessing to the world. Go back to Genesis 22, look at verse 17. Genesis chapter 22, and look at verse number 17. Genesis 22, 17. The Bible says this, that in blessing, I will bless thee. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. But I want you to notice there is an aspect to the Abrahamic covenant that was God committing to bless Abraham and his descendants. So when we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, what is it that we're talking about? We're talking about an agreement made by God with Abraham and Abraham's descendants, and that covenant. That covenant has an aspect that says that God was going to commit to give Abraham descendants, but in that covenant, he says, there's two types of descendants. You're going to have descendants that are spiritual, like the stars of heaven, and descendants that are physical, like the sand of the seashore. Then he says, I'm going to make you and your descendants a blessing to all the nations of the earth, and to all the families of the earth. And then he says, I'm going to bless Abraham and his descendants as well. Now keep your place there in Genesis, and go with me, if you would, to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3. And let's talk about, for a few minutes, how does this apply to us? Because, okay, I understand the Abrahamic covenant. God's going to give Abraham descendants. God's going to make his descendants a blessing. And then God's going to bless Abraham and his descendants. He's going to bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. How does that apply to us as New Testament believers? Well, here's what's interesting. When we go to the book of Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul actually gives us a commentary on this Abrahamic covenant. And again, we could go to lots of places and look at a lot of scriptures on this. I'm just going to give you just the basics, you know, just so you can kind of clearly understand it, and we won't spend too much time on it. But the New Testament tells us how this applies to us as New Testament believers. Now we're talking about how this applies to us. Number one, as New Testament believers, we actually are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. That promise that was given, that he was going to have descendants that are like the sand of the sea, yes, that was fulfilled through Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons and the 12 tribes and the nation of Israel. But remember, there was another aspect, that there's going to be descendants that are going to be like the stars of heaven, a spiritual descendancy. Notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, before we read it, let me just make this clear. The Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is speaking to the church in Galatia, which is a bunch of Gentile believers. All right, these are not Jews, these are Gentiles. And notice what Paul says to them, Galatians 3 verse 6. He says, even as. Now those two words, even as, mean in the same way. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now let me just say this. When Paul says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, here's what he's saying. He's saying, the same way that Abraham got saved, Galatian believers, is the same way you got saved. All right. Now that right there destroys the idea of dispensational salvation, and that salvation was different in different dispensations. Well, Abraham was in a different dispensation. Noah was in a different dispensation. Moses was in a different dispensation. They all got saved differently. No, Paul would say, hey, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, he says, that's how Abraham got saved. We read it in Genesis 12. Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. That's how everyone gets saved. That's how anyone gets saved, by calling upon the Lord in faith. That's salvation, period. So you just have to realize that these covenants are often taken by dispensationalists, and they're twisted, and they use them to try to prop up doctrines that are not biblical. But if you just read the Bible, you realize that, look, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, he talked about it again in Romans 4 as well. David got saved by putting his faith in the Lord. Abraham got saved by putting his faith in the Lord. Notice verse 7, Galatians 3 verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, And he's talking to these Galatians believers. He's saying, remember how you got saved? How did you get saved? By believing, and it was counted unto you for righteousness. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. What does that mean? Those who are in faith, those who believe, those who are saved. He says, the same are the children of Abraham. And here's what Paul's telling the Gentiles believers. He's saying, you are a descendant of Abraham. And they might say, well, how am I a descendant of Abraham? I'm a Galatian. I'm not a physical descendant of the nation of Israel. But Paul would say, yes, but God promised Abraham a spiritual descendancy as the stars of heaven. And he says, that's you. So look, we as New Testament believers are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now notice verse number 8. So here, we're talking about how does this apply to us? Well, number one, we as New Testament believers are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Number two, we as Gentile believers are the nations and families that God said were going to be blessed. We're the nations and the families of the earth that were going to be blessed. Notice verse 8. And the scripture, what scripture? Genesis 12, Genesis 22, what we saw already. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Now notice, the dispensationalists today, they'll say, oh no, the Gentiles were plan B. God, it was all about the Jews. It's all about the Jews. God only loves the Jews. God only wants to deal with the Jews. But when they accidentally crucified the Son of God, you know, whoops, you know, we accidentally killed the Messiah, then God's like, okay, I'm going to put you on timeout. Plan B, Gentiles. Is that what the Bible says? No, look, notice what he says. Genesis 3:8. And the scripture all the way back in Genesis, all the way back at the origins of man. Because when we get to Genesis 12, we're pretty early in the history of mankind. I mean, we've only gone through the Garden of Eden, the Noahic flood, the Tower of Babel. We're pretty early in the history of mankind. And he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. It was always God's plan to justify the world through faith. Notice, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What was that talking about? When he said, I'm going to bless all the nations in you, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth in you, all the nations of the earth. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that God would justify the heathen through faith. So how does the Abrahamic covenant apply to us? Because today we're being told the Abrahamic covenant doesn't apply to New Testament believers at all. The church is not Israel. The church is not descendants of Israel. This has nothing to do with us. This is a different thing. God's doing a different thing. But is that what the Bible teaches? Because the Apostle Paul here is saying, hey, we're part of the Abrahamic covenant in the sense that we're the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And God promised Abraham spiritual and physical descendants. And then he says, and by the way, we're mentioned in the Abrahamic covenant because God said that part of this covenant was to be a blessing to all the families of the earth, to all the nations of the earth. And he says, that's us. He says, he said that foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Notice, skip down to verse number 29 there in Galatians 3. Just to make it even more clear. Galatians 3 and verse 29, the Bible says this, and if ye be Christ, the Abrahamic covenant has nothing to do with New Testament belief and calling upon Christ to save you. Notice, if ye be Christ, what does that mean? If you belong to Christ, if you're in Christ, if Christ is your Savior, if you've called upon Him for salvation, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. He says, look, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and if ye seed and heirs according to the promise. He says, look, if you are in Christ, if you belong to Christ, if you're part of Christ, then you belong to Abraham's seed, and you are part of the descendants of Abraham. Now you say, well, how could we be part of the descendancy? He said, then are ye Abraham's seed. You say, well, how can we be Abraham's seed if we are not the physical descendants of Abraham, but if you remember, there was a spiritual descendancy that was promised in the Abrahamic covenant. You're there in verse 29. Go back to verse number 9 just real quickly. Verse number 9. And let me give you the third aspect in regards to how does this apply to us. I said, number one, as New Testament believers, we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And number two, as New Testament believers, we are the nations and families of the earth that were going to be blessed. But then number three, as New Testament believers, you're there in Galatians 3. Look down at verse number 9, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right thing here. We, as New Testament Gentile believers, have received the blessings of Abraham. Now, again, if you listen to Zionists, this is the big part that they don't like. I mean, they don't like anything that I've said so far, but this is really the part. They'll say, the Abrahamic covenant applies to the nation of Israel, applies to the Jews. We need to bless the nation of Israel. We want the blessing of God upon our life. This has to do with the Jews only. This is not for New Testament believers at all. It is not covering us at all. It's all about the nation of Israel. But notice what the Bible says. Galatians 3, look at verse 9. So then, they which be of faith, right? Because we just saw the context of verse 9 and verse 8, that God would justify the heathen through faith, that if we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed. He says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So he says, look, God said, I'm going to bless them that bless thee, Abraham. And then Paul says, and those that be of faith, they are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now look, I don't know how the Bible could be any more clear than that. I mean, when you talk to these Zionists and they're like, the blessings of Abraham are not for the Gentiles. The blessings of Abraham are not for the New Testament church. The blessings of Abraham are for the nation of Israel. We need to bless that heathen Antichrist nation, those unbelieving Jews out there. We need to bless them if we want God to bless us. In fact, God is cursing us with the coronavirus because we haven't done enough for Israel. That's what they'll tell you. But notice what God said, what Galatians 3:14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Could it be any more clear than that? Amen. Look, the only way that you can walk away from that phrase and not figure out that the blessings that God gave Abraham through the Abrahamic covenant have now been given to Gentile believers or to the New Testament church. You can only believe that if you spent 4 years in a Bible college being brainwashed, something other than what the Bible says. Because it says that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Amen. That we, Gentile believers, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, notice verse 15. I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet notice that he's mentioning the fact that this is a covenant that he's referring to. The blessing of Abraham is connected to the covenant. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man does annulleth it or addeth thereto. Notice verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed. Are the promises made? Are we Abraham's seed? If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Now to Abraham and his seed are the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. You see the S there at the end of that word seed? That's plural. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, the covenant that I made with Abraham, was made with Abraham and Abraham's seed. He says, it was not necessarily made with seeds as of many, but as of one. So he says, look, when I said that the covenant of Abraham had to do with Abraham and his descendants, right? Because he says, look, here's the three aspects of the covenant of Abraham. God is going to give Abraham descendants. God is going to bless the descendants of Abraham. And God is going to use the descendants of Abraham to be a blessing. You say, oh, that's talking about the nation of Israel. Well, not according to Paul. Because Paul says, that's really talking about one descendant in particular, verse 16, not to Abraham and his seed where the promise was made. He said, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Here's what he's saying. The promise that God made to Abraham was that God was going to give Abraham descendants. Yes, he's going to give him a nation. Yes, that was fulfilled through the nation of Israel, through the 12 tribes of Israel. But he says, really, what I was telling him is that there was going to be a descendant called Jesus Christ. A Messiah that would come through that line of Abraham. And the blessing would be upon him. Anyone who's in Christ is blessed with faithful Abraham. And really, it is Christ who is a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And it is Christ who is a blessing to all the families of the earth. So again, look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. The spiritual descendants also have received the inheritance of Abraham. So don't let somebody tell you, the Abrahamic covenant is just about the Jews. You know, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and it's not for New Testament believers. They'll say, no, Israel is not the church. The church is not Israel. The covenants and promises made to the nation of Israel don't apply to us. If somebody tells you that, then they haven't read the book of Galatians, or they read the book of Galatians, and maybe they're not even saved because they can't understand just the simple wording that says that we have been given the promises of Abraham, that the heathen Gentiles who believe on Christ have received the promises of Gentiles. It can't be any more clear than that. So go to the book of Exodus, if you would. If you kept your place in Genesis, just right after Genesis, you have the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19. So we're talking about the covenants. And today we're specifically dealing with two covenants. The first one was the Abrahamic covenant. What was it? Three aspects of the Abrahamic covenant. God was going to give Abraham descendants. God was going to make Abraham a blessing. And that God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants. So God was going to give Abraham descendants. We saw there that that was physical descendants and spiritual descendants. Here's what's interesting about the physical descendants and the spiritual descendants. They all end with one guy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was actually the physical descendant of Abraham. And we've got the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke to prove that he goes all the way back to Abraham. So that promise was that, hey, God, why did God give Abraham all those descendants and give him that nation? Here's why he did it. He did it for many reasons, but the main reason was to bring the Messiah physically into the world. But then what about the spiritual descendants? Well, they become descendants when they put their faith in Christ, when they're in Christ. So both descendancies end with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why Paul says, he didn't say to seeds as of many, he's talking about one seed, it's Jesus Christ. And he says, look, I'm going to give you descendants. Your descendants are going to be a blessing, primarily the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the nations of the earth. And to all the families of the earth. But look, the nation of Israel was supposed to be a blessing to the entire world in the Old Testament. And you and I, as spiritual descendants, are supposed to be a blessing to the entire world today. So it's not just only about Jesus, but it's primarily fulfilled in Jesus, and it's mainly about Jesus. And then he says, I'm going to bless the descendants of Abraham. And look, in the Old Testament, God blessed the nation of Israel. We're going to talk about that here next. But in the New Testament, that promise has been given to Abraham's spiritual descendants as well. And that's you, and that's me. And today you have people who stand against it, but this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what many Christians have believed for a long time. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we used to go to Sunday school. We don't have Sunday school at Verity Baptist Church, and we don't have children's ministries. We're family integrated. But when we would go to Sunday school or children's church, we'd sing this song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. You know, and you just sing that song. And here's the thing. That was a very doctrinally sound song. I am a son of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham. We are the descendants of Abraham, the spiritual descendants of Abraham, if we are in Christ. So that's the Abrahamic covenant. Now let's kind of shift gears and talk about the Mosaic covenant. Now, the Mosaic Covenant was a covenant, and these we give the names to these covenants based off of the men that the covenant was made with, or the leader, the physical leader that was who led that covenant. Of course, we talked about the Abrahamic Covenant. That was primarily made with Abraham, but that covenant was reiterated to Isaac. It was reiterated to Jacob. So it's called the Abrahamic Covenant because it was first initially given to Abraham. Then we have what is often referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. Now, there's a couple of things that I want you to understand about the Mosaic Covenant. First of all, it is this, that it was a corporate covenant. It was a corporate covenant. See, the Abrahamic Covenant was a covenant that was made with one man and his family. One man and his descendants. And specifically, the one descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Mosaic Covenant was a covenant that was made corporately to an entire nation, all right? Now, this is important for you to remember. I want you to make a note of that, because next week, when we do part two of understanding the covenants and we start talking about the New Covenant, the New Testament covenant, it's going to be important for you to realize the difference between the old Mosaic Covenant and the New Covenant. And one of the major things that you have to remember is that the Mosaic Covenant was a corporate covenant made with an entire nation. You say, well, how did that happen? Well, it's actually explained to us in Exodus chapter 19. If you're there, look at verse number 1. Exodus chapter 19 and look at verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So this is the children of Israel have now left Egypt, and they are in the wilderness. It's been 3 months. Notice verse 2. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai. I want you to remember that. They were in the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. So they're in the desert of Sinai, and they are camped before the mount, which is usually referred to as Mount Sinai. Notice verse number 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, that ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. So I want you to notice, God is now telling Abraham, here's what I want you to say to the children of Israel. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And we're going to come back to those verses next week in when we're talking about the New Testament covenant and just kind of comparing and contrasting. But notice verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. And then notice these words, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. All right, so I want you to notice that God, when they're on this mount, they're in the desert of Sinai before the mount, on Mount Sinai, Moses walks up to this mountain, and then God says to Abraham, here's what I want you to tell the children of Israel. Notice the last part of verse 3, tell the children of Israel, and then he begins to tell Moses what I want you to tell them. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, now therefore if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. He tells them, here's what I'm going to do, here's the deal. Then, at the end of verse 6, he says, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God is telling Moses, there's the offer, Moses. I want you to go down and tell the children of Israel, this is the offer that I am making. If you keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me. You'll be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Notice verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. So Moses comes down and he calls for all of the elders, the leaders of the nation of Israel. Notice, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. So Moses comes down from the mount, calls all the leaders of the nation, and he says, here's the deal, guys. Here's what God said. God said, if you keep my covenant, if you obey my voice, if you do these things, you're going to be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. He says, here's the deal. Notice verse 7. And Moses, I'm sorry, verse 8. And all the people answered together. That's very important, because I want you to notice, this is a corporate covenant. The entire nation of Israel agreed to this. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. They accepted the offer. God said, here's the offer for the nation, Moses. Tell them, this is what I'm offering them. And then they said, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned these words to the people unto the Lord. And by the way, have you ever noticed that in the book of Exodus, there's this transition right about here? You have the first part of the book of Exodus where it's a narrative. It's very interesting stories about Moses and the 10 plagues and coming out of Israel and dealing in the wilderness. Then right about here, we transition because the next chapter is a very famous chapter where God lays out the 10 commandments. Why does God do that? Here's why. Because they agreed to the covenant he made. And then he says, okay, they said, look, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So then in the next chapter, he says, well, here's what I want you to do. And he lays out the Ten Commandments, which the Bible tells us is the covenant that was written in stone, literally the Ten Commandments. And then he spends several chapters going into detail because even the Ten Commandments are just an overview of all of the commandments that God had for them. So I want you to notice, first of all, that the Mosaic Covenant was a corporate covenant made with the entire nation of Israel. And I want you to notice, secondly, that the Mosaic Covenant was not only a corporate covenant, but it was also a conditional covenant. See, it's made with certain terms. Are you there in Exodus 19? Look at verse 5. Notice what he says. Now therefore, notice this word, if. He says, now therefore, if. That's a condition. Notice the conditional word, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep the covenant. Notice this word, then. That's a conditional word. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And something you need to understand about the Mosaic Covenant, it's a not only a corporate covenant for the nation, but it is a conditional covenant. It is an if and then covenant. He says, if you do certain things, then I will do certain things. Go to the book of Leviticus. There in Exodus, just flip one book over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 26. And let me just say this. The Abrahamic covenant. Remember the Abrahamic covenant? The Abrahamic covenant only promised to make of Abraham a nation. The Abrahamic covenant never promises to bless that nation, never promises to make that nation the nation of God or the nation that represents God. The Abrahamic covenant promised three things: to give Abraham descendants, to be a blessing to those descendants, and to make those descendants a blessing. The Abrahamic covenant does not have any wording in it that says, and by the way, you're going to be my nation, my ambassadors, my peculiar people, my treasure, my kingdom, my priesthood, my representatives upon this earth. He never says that in the Abrahamic covenant. It is in the Mosaic covenant, which is a conditional covenant, where he says, look, if you do this, then I will do this. Are you there in Leviticus 26? Look at verse 46. Leviticus 26 and look at verse 46. Notice what the Bible says. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made. Notice, here's a covenant made between him and the children of Israel. Between him, God, and the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Where did he make this agreement? Notice, in Mount Sinai, right? That's what we just read about in Exodus 19. They were in the desert of Sinai before the mount. So in Leviticus 26, we're going to reiterate the agreement that was made between the nation of Israel and God, the Lord. And this is what's referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. Now, we're going to look at it in Leviticus. We could look at it in Deuteronomy. We could look at it in different places. But I'm going to show it to you in the book of Leviticus. He says, these are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. I want you to notice, and of course, we're looking at verse 46. He's already covered it, and he's saying, these are the statutes and judgments and the laws. So let's just rewind a little bit and look at what he's talking about. And I just want to emphasize the fact that it's a conditional covenant. Look at Leviticus 26 and verse 1. There's conditions in this covenant to God's blessings and God's cursings. Notice the conditions for a blessing. Leviticus 26, verse 1. You shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Doesn't that sound a lot like the Ten Commandments? Look at verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuaries, I am the Lord. Notice verse 3. If, conditional, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, notice verse 4, then, conditional, if, verse 3, then, verse 4, I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Notice, the blessings of God are an if and then condition for the nation of Israel. God did not promise to just bless the nation of Israel, no matter what you do. I'm going to bless you. Now, he did promise to give Abraham a descendant no matter what. No matter what you do. In fact, one covenant we're going to learn about next week, the Davidic covenant, is kind of, it's God keeping his promise when he wants to bring judgment upon the house of David and upon the nation of Israel. Yet he keeps the line of David going, the Davidic covenant, because God's going to keep his promise. He promised that Jesus would come through Abraham, and he fulfilled that through David and through David's line. But the blessings of God were not just an unconditional blessing. No matter what you do, you Jews, you can crucify the Son of God, you can reject Jesus as the Messiah, you can blaspheme his holy name, you cannot believe in him, you can be an unbeliever, but I'm just going to continue to bless you. That's not what the Bible says. God says, look, if you do certain things, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. Skip down to verse 13. Look at the conditions for the curses. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Notice verse 14. But if, condition, ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if, condition, ye shall despise my statutes, or if, condition, your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Notice, I also will. That's a condition. He's saying, if you do, then I will do this unto you. What's he going to do? I will even appoint over you terror. We know a little bit about that, don't we? He said, I'm going to bring panic into your land. Consumption and the burning ague. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. We're going to talk about that tonight. There's lots of sorrow of heart going on today in the United States of America. We're going to talk about how Christians should deal with anxiety. And God says, look, this is part of my judgment. I'm going to bring terror. I'm going to bring consumption. I'm going to bring the burning ague. He said, I'm going to bring pestilence. He says, I'm going to cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Skip down to verse 36. Notice what he says. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursueth. I want you to notice that the Mosaic covenant is a conditional covenant. God said, if you do certain things, then I will bless you in certain ways. And it also has a negative aspect to it. He says, if you don't do certain things, then I will curse you in certain ways. And notice, it's really up to their actions, how God will respond to their actions. Look at verse 3, Leviticus 26. I know we're skipping around a little bit, but I just want you to notice these conditional wordings. Leviticus 26, verse 3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, notice verse 21, and if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Notice verse 23. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, but walk contrary unto me. Look at verse 27. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. Notice verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. Notice he's saying, look, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. Look at verse 41. And he's saying, and if that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. He's saying, look, he's saying, it's all about your actions. How you respond, how God says, how I respond is dependent on what you do. If. Then he says this, verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Look at verse 28. Then I will walk contrary unto you, also in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. Look at verse 42. Then, he says, if, then he says, then will I remember my covenant. Notice verse 42. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I remember the land, and the land also. He's talking about if you get right. At this point, he's saying, if you get right, then I'm going to remember the covenant I made. The land also shall be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity because they despise my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And here's all I'm telling you. Here's all I want you to see. Is that the Mosaic covenant was an if and then covenant. It was an if and then covenant. Look at verse 44. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. And God's saying, I'm not going to cast them away because I already made a covenant with Abraham that the Messiah has to come through. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the Lord. And then he says in verse 46, these are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai in the hand of Moses. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You're there in Leviticus. You're going to go past Numbers into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, the Mosaic covenant was a conditional. Choose life! He says, choose life. Why? Because it was their choice. That both thou and thy seed may live. Go to the book of Daniel, just real quickly. We're almost done. Daniel, this is the last place we'll go to this morning. Daniel, chapter number 9. Daniel, chapter number 9. The Abrahamic covenant was God was going to give Abraham descendants. God was going to make Abraham a blessing. God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants. That is applied to us as New Testament believers in the sense that we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham, in the sense that we were the Gentiles that he promised that the nations and the families of the earth would be blessed. And we as Gentile believers have received the blessings of Abraham because we're in Christ and we're Abraham's seed. The Mosaic covenant was a covenant that was made corporately with the nation of Israel. And it was a conditional covenant, conditions of blessings, conditions of curses. It was an if and then covenant. Well, how can we, what application can we take away from this, from as New Testament believers? Because the Mosaic covenant has been done away with. There is no longer a nation that God is dealing with, and we'll talk about that next week in the New Covenant, when we talk about the New Covenant. But I want you to notice Daniel chapter 9, and look at verse number 4. This is Daniel in captivity. This is Daniel who's received the judgment that Moses warned about in Leviticus and in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4, the Bible says this. This is Daniel speaking. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy of them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Notice how he references the covenant. Daniel is understanding that this is as a result of their inability to keep the covenant that they agreed to keep. Look at verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, for our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Look, skip down to verse number 9. Notice what he says. Verse number 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, notice verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy laws, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, he says, look, you told us if we do this, then you would do this. Now Daniel's looking back and he's saying, we did this. Now this is what you have done, God. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And look, today people are confused about these covenants. They say, oh no, the covenants of Israel, they're not conditional. God's going to bless them no matter what. Daniel seems to have understood the covenant differently. He says, we are experiencing the judgment of God because we failed to uphold our part of the conditional, Mosaic, corporate covenant. So how can we apply this to us today? Well, we can apply it in a couple of ways. First of all, we must realize that nations cannot be judged in the next world. They must be judged in this world. The reason that God made a conditional covenant with a nation, he made a conditional covenant with a nation, because nations cannot be judged as individuals in the afterlife. Nations cannot be judged in the next world. They can only be judged in this world. So he made a conditional covenant with a corporate nation. And here's what we can learn. The blessings of God, and the curses of God are conditional. Here's what we can say. Well, how do we apply that to our nation? Well, here's how we can apply it. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. If God made a conditional covenant of blessing with the nation of Israel, and he says, if you mess with me, if you sin against me, if you go against my laws, I'm going to curse you, I'm going to bring a plague, I'm going to bring the ague, I'm going to bring consumption, I'm going to bring terror, I'm going to bring sorrow of heart, then look, we should realize that as a nation, you say America has been blessed by God over the years. You know what? But today, America's cursed by God. The blessings of God are not set to us. They're not just going to be given to us. They are given on a conditional basis. And look, we cannot just lift up our fists at God and do all the wickedness and filth and the murders and the abortions and all the things that happen in this country and then think, well, nothing's going to ever bad. It's going to happen to us. You know, people want to argue about, where did this coronavirus come from? Was it the Chinese government? Was it the American government? Was it this group or that group? Was it the elites? And look, I don't know. We don't know. Maybe it was. But you know what? Ultimately, it was God. Amen. Ultimately, it was God bringing his judgment upon this country, because nations cannot be judged in the next world. So they must be judged in this world. And God says, look, God is no respecter of persons. He said, we want the blessing of God. Well, he says, it's available if you keep my commandments. If you do what I've told you to do, I'll bless you. But if you don't, then I will curse you. I will send the plague. I will send the terror. I will send the sorrow of heart. He said, I will bring my judgment upon your nation. But when we're talking about these specific covenants, and again, there's so much we could have delved into and talked about this morning. And as you can tell, there's no way we could cover the next two covenants in one sermon. But as we consider the first two covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, we realize that the Abrahamic covenant was given to God, was given by God to Abraham, promising him descendants, was given by God to Abraham, promising to make Abraham and his descendants a blessing, was given by God to Abraham, promising to bless Abraham and his descendants. The Mosaic covenant was a corporate covenant made with an entire nation, and it was a conditional covenant made with certain terms. Now, next week, we're going to do part two of this Understanding the Covenants sermons, and next week we're going to talk about the Davidic covenant and we're going to talk about the new covenant. So make sure you stick with us next week as we study those things out. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to study the Bible. Lord, thank you for being clear in regards to these covenants and even for allowing us to be able to make some applications in regards to the covenants to us today. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to continue to love you and serve you. And Lord, help us to not be the reason why the judgment of God comes upon this nation. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.